More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, Love Lost. Are you having a hard time loving someone or feeling loved by them? Are you dealing with someone who's difficult to love? Let us help. 877-573-7825.
I want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising. Relevant. Hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, Love Lost. We're talking about those people that are either difficult to love, or those times when we have a hard time knowing how to love someone, or even feeling loved by them. Give us a call. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
You know, we all have love in our hearts, right? And we all want love and to be loved, but it's hard to know how to love the way that God wants us to. Do you have a hard-to-love person in your life? Someone who's prickly, difficult, who's pushing you away when you try to show them that you care? Or maybe you care about someone who says that they love you but does a poor job of showing it. Whether you're having a hard time loving someone or feeling loved by someone, let us help. Give us a call today here on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
It can be hard to know what it means to be loving in a particular situation, you know. And of course, Jesus gave us that new commandment, love one another as I have loved you. But it's funny because, you know, we have a tendency to just sort of take it at face value without really reflecting on the idea that this was a new commandment, right? It's not like people didn't love each other before Jesus came along. What he was saying was, I'm telling you to love differently.
Mm.
You know, there's some, I'm presenting a different vision of love than you're used to. And we have a tendency to, you know, have our idea of love formed by popular culture, and then we just sort of Christianize it in our heads, as you know. But Jesus is really calling us to a very different vision of love, and we want to talk about what it means to be loving in all those difficult situations in your life, because it's not necessarily as straightforward as you might think. So whether you're struggling to love a difficult person, or you're having a hard time loving somebody or being loved, feeling loved by them, we want to help you manage all those difficult questions about love today on More to Life. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, 877-573-7825. If you are listening later on to the More to Life podcast, we hope you will. You can also get your questions in via email. And that address is questions@moretoliferadio.com. That's the number two, questions@moretoliferadio.com. But if you're listening live, we'd love to hear your voice. So give us a call at 877-573-7825.
And we certainly mean this in any kind of relationship. Certainly when we think of love, we think of romantic relationships, long-term relationships of that nature. But it can be difficult to love your toddler, who every time you're trying to do something, you know, loving for them, they push you away, they're having a temper tantrum, they're losing their minds. It can be difficult to love a sibling who you've always had some kind of issue with all your life, and now even then you're grown, it doesn't seem to get any better. We can have a difficult time with our adult children, with our parents that are, you know, independent and just not working on the relationship with us the way they need to. no matter who it is in your life, where you're trying to have a relationship with them, one based in love, one based in your caring and their caring back for you, and something's getting in your way, we can give you new skills and connect you with more of God's grace if you give us a call today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Every day on More to Life, we unpack the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And if you're not sure what that is, St. John Paul, when he was Pope, he gave a series of reflections over the course of about 5 years that looked at how we could discern God's plan for living a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships by prayerfully contemplating his design of creation, especially our bodies.
Well, you know, as you were saying, Greg, you know, the Christian understanding of love is very different from the world's understanding, and the theology of the body really reminds us of that. Unfortunately, even the most devout Christians tend to adopt a secular understanding of the word. I mean, we're immersed in it all the time. Most people believe that loving someone means simply being nice, affirming whatever another person chooses to do, not making waves. But Pope Benedict said that this wasn't love at all. It was merely sentimentality masquerading as love. True Christian love means working for the ultimate good of another person. But what does it mean to work for the person's ultimate good?
Yeah, and that's a great thing to say, you know, but yeah, let's unpack it, right? So I think it means four things. First, Christian love requires us to uphold each person's dignity as a beloved son or daughter of God, no matter what they look like, where they come from, or what they've done, right? Secondly, if we love somebody as Christ commands us to, we're going to defend their life and do things that encourage their health and well-being. Third, if we love somebody as Christ wants us to, we're going to behave in a manner that encourages them to have godly relationships with us and with others. And finally, loving somebody as Christ calls us to love them means actively supporting their healthy hopes and dreams and helping them flourish as a human person, even when it requires some sacrifice on our part, so that they can glorify God with their lives. And here's the thing, you know, as sons and daughters of God, we have a right to expect others to love us in those same four ways. So it doesn't just go one way.
That's right.
Obviously, this is a really different vision of love than the world promotes, but it's a vision of love that's truly loving, in that it supports our ability to become everything God created us to be in this life and help us to get to heaven in the next. And that's what love is really all about.
Well, and it's also good to know that that's what love is about, because it gives us a directive. It gives us a path. It's not just about feelings. When everything's just about feelings, if we feel loving, if we don't feel loving, if they do, if they don't, everything in life is just too mercurial, too difficult to really pin down, because feelings are going to change like the weather. It's just the nature of them. But when we really understand what the theology of the body teaches us about what love means and how to live it out, it can give us the tools and the direction to really be able to make loving relationships successful and meaningful and last literally forever.
So give us a call. Let's talk it out. What does it mean to love that difficult person in your life? That person who's a little prickly, who maybe is pushing you away and you try to show them that you care? What does it take to get love from those people that you care about, where you feel like, you know, you want more from that relationship, but you're not sure how to get what you're looking for? 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the
Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Lord Jesus Christ, you reminded us that you gave us a new commandment to love one another as you love us. You call us to a different vision of love, a vision of love that respects and works for our good on every single level. Help us to know what it means to love others as you would have us love them, and to be loved by others as you would have us have them love us. Help us to have the wisdom to love in a way that works for the ultimate good of each person in our lives, and to be in relationships with people who are willing to work for our ultimate good as well, so that we can build those communities of love that your servant St. John Paul reminded us that we were called to live in, and so that we can build your kingdom through our efforts to love as you would have us love. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled Love Lost. Are you having a hard time loving someone or feeling loved by them? Are you dealing with someone who's difficult to love? Let us help. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Karen, who's listening to EWTN Radio in New Jersey on Sirius XM 130.
Hi, Karen. Welcome to More to Life. What's up?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Certainly. What can we do for you today?
So I have a son who's turning 34 this year, and I'm very proud of him in so many ways. He has a master's degree from an Ivy League school. He teaches at this Ivy League school, amongst other things, and he's, in that regard, doing very well with his life. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, I grew up in a very dysfunctional, abusive household. And, you know, so when I got married and had children, you know, I thought that I had, you know, I paid attention to everyone else, and I thought I had this formula. At the top of the formula was go to Mass every Sunday, the kids went to Catholic school, you know, I, you know, do all those things, go to the doctor on time and all those kinds of things to live a good life. You know, and I had a lot of expectations, and I did a lot of things wrong. But my son was an altar server. He did go to Catholic school until he was in middle school. And so he's got a really good sense of what the Catholic Church is and who God is, and he wants no part of it, although it's in there. I know it's in there. At this point, you know, I'm divorced, and my daughter was an addict, and we had a big struggle with that, but everybody's on the other side of that. My daughter's 5 years clean and sober, going to nursing school, and doing quite well.
Thank God.
Although she's gay, though. You know, so we're still in very, very much a broken family in so many ways.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And, but I still... Yeah, I'm a very faithful Catholic. Like, there's nobody taking that away from me. And, you know, I don't push that on my kids anymore. I try to meet them where they are. I try to accept them where they are.
No, you.
But my
son is very aggressive. He's very aggressive?
He's very aggressive in terms of wanting me to understand that the world isn't the way it should be. You know, like, I've lived through Occupy Wall Street. I lived through boo-hoo, Donald Trump won the election and we don't feel safe anymore. I lived
He's
through
He's saying
Black
all
Matter.
These things, or you're saying all these things?
He marched in all these things.
He's really trying to let you know what he's passionate about and what his concerns
are. So, Karen, let me ask you...
Palestine.
Okay, can I ask you a question? Aside from politics and religion, do you guys have any relationship at all? Like, do you see each other? Do you do things together? What do you do now?
Over the past 2 years, I would say, he started seeing this therapist who started telling him he needed to distance himself from me. You know, I've become the toxic one. I've become... Even though, you know, I paid for his education on my own and did everything, I did too much for him, really. And I know that, you know.
Okay. Well, look, Karen, so I mean, I'm trying to intuit your question here, which is, you know, how could you improve your relationship with your son? And also, you know, ultimately, how can you perhaps lead all of your kids back to the faith? And I want to applaud you. You've done a lot of good things, right? And your faithfulness through trial is admirable and noble. And I'm glad to hear that nothing can take that away from you.
And you've built so much further ahead than you experienced as a child. That's very hard to do, but you committed to yourself to that, and you made great strides in that.
You know, and all of us are broken in some ways and struggling in some ways. All of us wrestle with sin and the way that sin has affected us. And, you know, you've struggled heroically against all of those things that you know, you were raised with, and tried to give your kids a better life than you had. And I think you succeeded in that. Even so, you acknowledge that there were problems in the family growing up, in your family, and with your kids growing up, and they're all kind of reacting to those problems that they grew up with. And even, you know, even when we try to do our best, you know, sometimes those things still affect our kids. And so we have to kind of recognize that, right? And not just say, well, because I did these things, then they shouldn't be upset about those things. It's kind of an all together thing, right? So a couple of things I just want to share with you. First of all, you know, a lot of parents believe because they did the things, right? We went to Mass every week. We sent our kids to school, you know, Catholic school. They went to youth group, those kinds of things, that they're going to grow up to be Catholic, or that they were altar servers at one point, you know. Unfortunately, the research really shows that in order for any of those outside things to stick, even Mass attendance, which is essential to our faith, right? It's the summit and source of our faith. In order for those outside things to stick, kids need to experience the faith as the source of the warmth in the home. They need to be able, for our homes don't have to be perfect, right? But they need to be able to see that because we are a Catholic family, because we are a Christian family, that faith is making a difference in the way we relate to each other, a positive difference in the way we relate to each other. I when I look at my friends' families, my friends who aren't Catholic or who aren't Christian, you know, I need to be able to see that there's something different about the way our family operates because of our faith. We are closer to each other. We struggle differently, right? And it somehow brings us closer together. And what I'm hearing from what you've shared is that there was a lot of pain, even though there was less pain in your in the family that you raised than the family you were raised in. There was still real pain there. And I think that somehow your kids got the message that the faith was part of that pain. And so they're reacting against it. And so two things that I want you to focus on. First of all, in your relationship, especially with your son, the relationship we have with our adult kids has to go beyond, you know, values and beliefs and ideas. We want our kids to share our faith and ideas, and ultimately that's important. But when the relationship becomes entirely about politics or values or faith, then our adult kids feel like they're projects, not persons, and that we're focusing our entire relationship on trying to get them to think the way we do or believe the way we believe, which of course would be wonderful. We all want that. It's heartbreaking when our kids don't hold our values and our faith. But if that becomes the entire focus of the relationship, then they feel like we're toxic. And they need to distance themselves from us because we're not able to see the good in the things that they're trying to pursue the way they're trying to pursue them, even if they're not pursuing them in the healthiest way possible or in ways that we wish. It's important to try to do the Catholic thing, which is to find the good where it can be found, and to see them as persons who are struggling, who are striving, and to try to see what the positive intention behind those struggles are and support those intentions the best that we can. I really want to encourage you, Karen, to check out our book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Our Adult Sons and Daughters, because it really talks about how we can get past this temptation to turn our adult kids into projects instead of persons, and build a real relationship with them, and how to have those conversations in ways that they might find receptive. The other thing I want you to do, Karen, is I'm glad that you're faithful. I'm glad that you're going to church. I'm glad that you're a devout Catholic. I want you to take that grace that you're receiving from the sacraments, that grace that you're receiving from your prayer life, and focus on your healing. I want you to get good professional pastoral counseling help to really learn how to let that grace seep into the deepest parts of your heart, because I want you to be a witness to your kids about how your faith is helping you heal and be that strong, beloved woman of God who they can look at and say, you know what, Mom's been through so much and she's really getting it together because of her faith. It's not just that she leans on her faith to get through and just sort of struggle through the day. It's that her faith is helping her to be a whole, healed, healthy, godly person. And I want that, Right. So the more we can do that healing in our own lives and show our adult kids that, our faith is the source of integration and wholeness and healing, the more our witness is credible to them. So I want you to do that twofold thing. I want you to figure out how to build a relationship with your adult kids that's not just about making them into a project unintentionally. But I also want you to do that healing work that allows them to look at you and say, Mom's faith is giving her the courage to face her stuff and heal in ways that, I didn't think was possible. All right, we've got to go with that. We have to head to break, but thank you so much for the call, Karen. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out. And we're taking your calls at 877-573-7825. When we come back, in addition to taking your calls, we'll be joined by Rachel Isaac, a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com, who'll be sharing some insights about loving those people through their irritating behaviors. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues.
Each weekday, we'll dive into the timeless teachings of our Catholic faith, drawing upon the wisdom of the ages to navigate the challenges of today. Together, we'll seek truth, find inspiration, and forge a deeper connection with God. I'm Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and I invite you to join me for Beacon of Truth, today at 4 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling, 40 years of experience, 17,000 current students, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plan, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right, pretty much everything. My wife and I use Seton, some of our children. Tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT. Over 30% higher on English and reading on the ACT. It's a rigorous program. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to SetonHome.org. That is SetonHome.org.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Do you have an insurance plan that pays for everything, even things you don't believe in? There are options. You can join Solidarity HealthShare, a faith-based health-sharing community. Plus, Solidarity HealthShare can save you money with prices starting as low as $384 a month for families.
Call to see how much you can save. 844-398-9399. That's 844-398-9399.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Our show today is titled Love Lost. Are you having a hard time loving someone or feeling loved by them? Are you dealing with someone who's difficult to love? Let us help. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Rachel Isaac. She is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. She also directs the St. Sebastian Program for Performance Excellence at CatholicCounselors.com. Rachel Isaac, welcome to More to Life.
Thank you for having me.
So you wanted to talk a little bit about how you help your clients know what it means to be loving to someone who's displaying a lot of irritating behavior. We don't know anybody like that.
No, not at all, ever, right? No, but I mean, often though, when someone is hard to love, it's because they're ineffectively trying to meet a need that they have. They don't know how to address the need or insecurity that they're carrying, and so they tend to attempt to meet that need in an unintentionally obnoxious way. And this is true for children and adults. When we're dealing with a person in our lives who's like this, it's often our automatic reaction to push them away in some way. Now, of course, if their behavior is hurtful or harmful, we need to set healthy boundaries, and we don't have the responsibility to stay in an unhealthy relationship with them. However, if the relationship is relatively healthy and they're simply irritating us in some way by their behavior, pushing them away is most likely going to make them unconsciously double down on the obnoxious behavior. For example, if someone in your life is constantly inserting themselves into conversation, making a conversation about them, offering unsolicited advice, they most likely have a need or desire to be connected or included, but their insecurity is creating a reaction in them that's causing them to insert themselves into situations or make the situation about them as an ineffective way to meet their need for connection. But if they're trying to meet their need in a reactive way and then I'm reacting to their behavior by pushing them away, it's going to trigger all those alarm bells in their brain that now they have to try even harder to create that connection for themselves. But if I can tame my own reaction and approach them with empathy, maybe try to include them before they're ineffectively inserting themselves, you know, this could help me and them kind of move out of that reactionary part of our brains to be calmer and connect in a healthier way and a more effective way. Ultimately here, we want to try to evaluate what is the need that this person might be trying to meet through their behavior and then work to meet that need or invite the other person to meet that need in a healthier and more effective way.
It's so important because if you're not controlling your reaction and looking for what is that need, that hidden need here, you're just going to eat each other alive. The whole relationship is going to disintegrate. And often in that situation, we feel so powerless. We need to be able to say, okay, hold on a minute. This person is irritating the nonsense out of me, but if I can control this and look for that hidden need and maybe even talk to them about it, what it may be they're really trying to say with this obnoxious behavior. Don't call them obnoxious. We have a real fighting chance to make the relationship better by at least empathizing with the need, perhaps even meeting it, right?
And that's allowing us to really love them and work for their good. Rachel, I want to thank you so much for being with us today. It's a pleasure talking with you. And if folks would like to learn more about Rachel Isaac's good work, we encourage you to go to CatholicCounselors.com. That's CatholicCounselors.com, where you can check out the St. Sebastian Program for Performance Excellence as well. We're taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825 on our show titled Love Lost. Whether you're having a hard time loving someone, feeling loved by them, or dealing with someone who's just difficult to love, we want to help. Give us a call. The number is 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue in just a minute.
Where has the Church reached perfection? In the person of the Blessed Mother, according to the Catholic Catechism, who is without spot or wrinkle. We, the faithful, are still striving to conquer sin and increase in holiness. The word Catholic means universal. The Church is Catholic in a double sense. First, the Church is Catholic because Christ is present in her. Where there is Christ Jesus, there is the Church, says the Catechism. From him, she receives the fullness of the means of salvation, correct and complete confession of faith, full sacramental life, and ordained ministry in apostolic succession. Secondly, the Church is Catholic because she has been sent by Christ to the whole human race. In the beginning, God made human nature one and has decreed that all his children who were scattered should finally be gathered together as one. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
Now, we don't worship Mary. She is the Queen of All Saints. She is the Mother of God, the Theotokos, the God-bearer. But she does have a direct connection with Jesus. She's always pointing us to Jesus. She works together with the Lord in terms of turning people over to him and directing. Like you have a problem, you go to your mom. Your mom's going to give you advice. What does our Mother Mary tell us? Go to Jesus, pray the rosary, go to Mass, receive the sacraments, go to confession. Go to my son, go to my son, go to my son. She's not talking all about her. She's talking about her son. And this is in all the approved apparitions. On the cross, Jesus gave Mary to St. John. Son, behold your mother. Mother, behold your son. Now, aren't we supposed to emulate Christ and follow in the footsteps of his great apostles, such as the great St. John? And if John took Mary into his home and took care of her, then what are we supposed to do?
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck. Did you know that up to 20% of Americans suffer from serious levels of anxiety? We all feel anxious from time to time, but when anxiety starts harming our health, relationships, or everyday activities, it's probably time to seek some advice. The good news is that anxiety wasn't part of God's blueprint for the human person. It's just one of many symptoms of a world broken by sin. And just as God wants to liberate each of us from sin and death, he wants to free each of us from unhealthy worry and anxiety too. St. Francis de Sales, for example, battled anxiety as a young man. Later in life, he wrote that, quote, anxiety is the greatest evil that can befall a soul except sin, unquote. But with God's help, he overcame his anxiety and went on to become one of the church's greatest spiritual teachers. Even though anxiety disorders have complex physical, psychological, and spiritual causes, God literally created us with the capacity to live in his peace, not just in the next life, but right now. To learn more about God's promise of peace, check out my book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety. And if you'd like more grace-filled assistance in your battle against fear, worry, or anxiety, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, the show is titled Love Lost, as we talk about the challenges we face in loving people, and whether you're having a hard time loving someone, feeling loved by them, or you're dealing with someone who's difficult to love, we want to help. Give us a call. The number is 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Rebecca, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Sirius XM 130.
Hi, Rebecca. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Oh, thank you for having me. I have a friend that's 88 years old. I'm in my mid.
Whoops, did we lose Rebecca?
Are you there, Rebecca?
Can you hear me?
Yes, you're breaking up a little bit. So you have a friend who's 88, and you help her out. Is that correct?
Yes, her husband died a couple of years ago, and I told her at the funeral, you know, if there's anything you need, please let me know. And I, you know, I truly meant it. So ever since the funeral, I have been buying her groceries, help her take baths, take her to the doctor appointments, and hire people to help clean her house and to do her yard and basically to take care of her. I do have a family of my own, and this is just taking away from all of my family and my duties as a mother, a wife, and it's caused a rift between my whole family. Everyone's so upset and say I shouldn't help her, but if I don't help her, who's going to help her?
Well, Rebecca, you have a beautiful heart, and I appreciate your desire to be so charitable to this woman. That's a beautiful thing. But I have to say that the way you're approaching this is disordered. Because God has given you your spouse and your own children and your own family to take care of first. And any other work that you do needs to respect the primacy of your responsibility to your husband and to your children and to your household.
To the family that you entered into or were born into first. Because that's what Greg means by disordered. It's literally out of the order in which it should take priority. So as a mother, as a wife, if your husband is still with you in this life, if you have obligations to other family members from your family of origin, that's where God says, okay, on the to-do list of life, Rebecca, these people are number one. They come number one on your list. Then charity to anyone outside of that is important, but has to be ordered rightly so that it's not drawing away from the sacramental experience of the family you have built with someone else. So you can do some of these things for her, but first of all, you don't need to be paying for all of this stuff if you are actually doing that. You know, you need to be sitting down with her and saying, let's work out your accounts and what we can work out. But you can make it a one-day-a-week thing. Oh, I'll take you to the doctor and we'll pick up your groceries on the way home. You can delegate this to some other people who can do this, but it's not your responsibility. You are not taking the place of her husband. That's out of order of how God set up your life.
And you're saying, well, if you don't do it, who will? You know, you told her screener that she's fired all of her other caregivers. It's not that there aren't other people who could do it. It's that she just prefers that you do it. So if you would draw some appropriate lines that would allow you to take care of your family first and still be charitable to her, she would have to accept those other caregivers to fill in the gaps. You know, she'd have to accept that home health CNA to help her with the bath instead of having you do that. She would have to accept the other people that have been there in her home before. And if you were concerned that she wasn't, then you could contact the Department of Elder Services in your county to have them do a wellness evaluation, have a social worker would come to the house and really either make recommendations for her for appropriate caregivers, or if she was refusing that and she was a danger to herself, then they would make appropriate recommendations at that point. But it's not all up to you to save this woman, Rebecca. And in fact, and I appreciate, again, you have a beautiful heart. But sometimes, you know, we end up neglecting the people that God has placed in our lives. And that is a grave, grave problem. You know, it's deeply, deeply disordered. And it causes our spouse and our children to not be able to experience God's love through us. We end up abandoning our domestic church to do a good thing. You know, if your pastor never showed up for Mass because he was busy downtown working at the food bank, and you said, "Hey, Father, why aren't you coming to Sunday Mass? Why aren't you celebrating Sunday Mass?" Well, I'm doing a good thing for these people over here. What's wrong with you?
It's a good thing. It's part of his mission as a priest, but it's not the primary thing. His primary thing is the sacraments for his congregation.
And that's you. You're not being faithful to the sacrament of your marriage and family life because you're trying to do charitable work for other people. And you know, on one level, it's a beautiful thing to do charitable work for other people, but only if it's rightly ordered, and yours isn't. So, again, you have a beautiful heart. I appreciate your intentions, but you are actually getting in the way of this woman getting the help that she needs by just being everything for her. And I'm not sure what's driving that in you, but very often what ends up happening is that we end up neglecting the people we love because we're trying to pursue love from other people.
Well, and here's the thing about this, you know, and if you were listening earlier when we were talking to Karen, you know, Greg was really explaining that our family members are much more likely, by all the studies that have been done, including the CARA study that we recently did, to love God and know God and want to remain active in the Catholic faith if they've experienced faith as the source of the warmth in their relationship with their family members, especially their parents. Okay? So right now, you've got your family saying, "You know what, Rebecca, mom, wife, we're not experiencing that warmth from you right now because you're giving it all to your 88-year-old neighbor."
And you're basically saying to them, "Well, but Jesus is making me do that."
And so they're going to resent you, and they're going to resent Jesus, and they're begging for love from both of you. And it's your job as wife and mother or grandmother or whatever you are in this situation to put that effort into the family relationships. And sometimes that's a little scary for us. You know, we think these are really heavy-duty relationships. There's a lot expected from me. I can't just do service. I actually have to relate. I have to open my heart. And that's a little scary. And that's scary because that's what God is asking us to do, to grow in love and love the way he did, which is open your heart up to the people that God has given you to love. So, Rebecca, sit down today. Write down all the people that he's given you to love in a sacramental way. Your spouse, your kids from that marriage, the family that you have that goes beyond that. And really pray about what do they need from you. Hey, straight up ask them. They probably just want to spend time with you. They want to go out and get pie and just have a talk with you. They want you around. They need those things. They need that relationship from you. Start writing down those priorities. And then in terms of your 88-year-old friend, come up with maybe one day a week where you can help her so that you're not completely abandoning her. Find her those other caregivers. Make that change in your life.
But
and things will fall into right order and peace.
You're going to have to let her stumble a little bit before mm-hmm. she decides to accept those other caregivers, though. And I know that's going to break your heart, but you really have to have a rightly ordered approach to ministry.
Because God's calling her to be a more open person as well.
All right, 877-573-7825. We're talking with you about those people who are either difficult to love, difficult to get the love you want from. We want to help you experience the love that God has in his heart for you in all of your relationships. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. 573-7825.
Let's talk now with Thomas, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Oklahoma on Oklahoma Catholic Radio.
Hi, Thomas. Welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out today?
How's it going?
Just fine, there? Thanks. What's your question for us?
Okay, I've
Thomas,
been
can you hear us?
Going on 19 years now.
Yeah.
Got three kids, and my wife and I are currently separated. Looks like we may be getting a divorce. I gave my all. I just don't understand how someone can just walk away after that long, and how's a person supposed to cope with this?
Well, why is she saying she's walking away, Thomas?
She says she loves me, but she's not in love with me no more.
But why?
I don't know the answer to that. I wish I knew.
Have you asked her?
I've asked. I've begged and pleaded. I've done everything I could think of to do.
Well, I'm sure you begged her to stay. I'm sure you begged her to stay. But in terms of why does she think that, you know, why has the love gone out of the relationship in her mind?
I guess maybe we've grown apart over the years. I don't know. I work all the time, you know, try to provide for my family. And, I'm shocked. I'm clueless. I'm shell shocked about the deal. So.
Okay. I'm really sorry that you're going
it's
through this. It's so heartbreaking, Thomas. And I understand what you're saying, and I hear this so often in the pastoral counseling practice. You know, you're a good man. You have a good heart. You're working hard to provide for your family. But I think you made the mistake that a lot of people make, in that providing for our family means only financially providing. And when I hear a spouse, especially a wife, say, you know, I love you, but I'm not in love with you, that means two things. One, it means they're depressed, almost always, and there's some depression there. But a lot of that depression is rooted in a lot of the emotional needs not being met in the relationship. That as men, we often give in to that temptation to just provide financially for our family, but not emotionally. And in time, our family feels genuinely neglected, right? And the fact that you're saying, and again, I realize you've tried your best. You know, you're doing a lot. But what you're telling me here is that when you say I don't know, you know, to be in a 19-year-long relationship with somebody and not know why they're feeling what they're feeling, it kind of speaks to a level of a lack of communication, a lack of emotion in the relationship, a lack of emotional and spiritual support. So, Thomas, I think the best thing you could possibly do at this point would be to start seeking some individual counseling from a good marriage-friendly therapist. So the intention being that you want to be learning those relationship skills that you've been lacking in the past to be able to attend to your wife's emotional needs. Now, I'm not saying this is all your fault, right? I mean, a lot of times whenever I run into this situation where somebody says, I love you, but I'm not in love with you, they're not very good at expressing their feelings or advocating for their needs, and they don't necessarily deal with conflict well. So, you know, I'm not dumping this all on your lap, but you're the one who wants to try to work on this relationship. Your wife has given up at this point. And the only way you're going to save this relationship, if there's any chance at all, is by getting some help for yourself to start learning what are those relationship skills that we're lacking, how do you increase your ability to attend to another person's emotional needs, you know, what do you need to do to really be that man that she can look to and say, you know, Thomas gets it finally. After all this time, he really gets it.
And that's your chance to really save the relationship. And it's absolutely fine for you to be able to say to her, you know what, I'm going to go get some marriage counseling on my own because somehow I don't have the skills or are not cluing in on what you need, and I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be that person in your life. And whether we stay together or not, I want to be a better person in your life, yeah, even if we end up as just friends.
Because you have children together,
yeah,
right? So you're going to have to be dealing with each other for the rest of your life. And she's going to have the opportunity to see that you're becoming a different man who's more emotionally attuned, who's more emotionally intelligent, more concerned about actually her needs beyond just the temporal needs that she has. And that's going to make a big difference. And it's also going to promote your own healing in areas that
exactly
you need to grow in, Thomas.
And I know that your reaction is probably, I don't want to do that. She's hurt me. She's leaving me. I don't want to do that. I just want to feel my pain, which is perfectly normal reaction when we've been hurt as badly as you've been hurt. But if you really do want a chance to have a real marriage with this woman, or as Greg said, at very least, a good co-parenting relationship with this woman that might lead to healing in the future, these are the steps you really need to take.
All right. Thank you so much for the call, Thomas. If there's more that we can do to support you, I hope that you'll reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com, where we can set you up with a good, faithful counselor to help you walk through this and really help you find grace-filled solutions for the challenge that you're facing right now. God bless you. We're taking your calls, 877-573-7825. Are you having a hard time loving someone, feeling loved by them, or dealing with someone who's just difficult to love? Our show today is titled Love Lost, and we're taking your calls about all the challenges we face in truly loving others as God would have us love them, or being loved by others as God wants us to be loved by them. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from John chapter 13, verse 34.
I give you a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. So you also should love one another.
And the thing, again, as I was saying earlier in the program, that we hear this verse and we think, oh yeah, love, right. We all know what that means. No, Jesus is saying, I'm giving you a new vision of love. It's not like people didn't try to love each other before Jesus came along, right? But what he's saying is you were loving each other wrong. I want to show you a different and better and new way to love each other. And it's different than what the culture tells us love is.
It's different what the culture tells us love is, because what it really is working for the ultimate good of another person. But sometimes even hearing that, we think, well, then we just have to preach the gospel to them. We just have to tell them where they're wrong. Or we just have to suffer, because that's how Jesus loved us. He suffered. No, he spent his earthly ministry building relationship with people, touching them, loving them, healing them, eating with them, laughing with them, walking with them. The effort he put into that was intense, and a real example of what we need to be doing to build that relationship and love one another here on earth, to be as Christ was and how he loved us.
With that, we have to go to break. We want to continue taking your calls about those challenging situations where it's difficult to love someone or be loved by them. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
EWTN offers the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass from Our Lady of the Angels Chapel, live every morning at 8 Eastern. We want to help you draw closer to our Eucharistic King. Our free Mass Guide booklet will help you follow along with the Mass on EWTN and unite with Catholics worldwide. For a free Mass booklet or ebook, visit EWTN.com/Catholicism. Then click on Readings.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Do you have a teenager at home who's full of potential? Too often the world is telling you to be content with mediocrity instead of raising respectful and responsible young adults with strong character. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray. If you need some help, not only to navigate those teen years, but to really enjoy them, check out my book, Standing Strong, Good Discipline Makes Great Teens, as well as my other books, on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
Cresta in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled Love Lost, as we talk about the challenges in loving people and being loved by them. Who's on deck, Lisa?
We're talking with Donna, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Illinois on the EWTN app.
Hi, Donna. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi. Thanks so much for taking my call. I had a really bad reaction with my son's fiance about a year ago. And I say that meaning I'm used to fighting with people and getting over it and fighting with people and getting over it and apologizing and making up. I've done this all my life, no big deal. I had a really bad reaction because of her life choices to something she said, and I blew up. Okay, I admit it. I've done that before. It's not like I've never done that before. And I tried to apologize. I tried to make it okay, but I also had a stroke that same day. Anyway, whatever. So the main thing
you literally had a stroke the same day.
Yeah, I went to the hospital like right afterwards.
Wow. And, okay, so that's a really good excuse for not being in your best place when you're about to go through a stroke. Yeah, okay. So what's going on now?
But I'm trying to minimize that for the moment, only for the sake of saying, okay, I'm trying to take some responsibility here. I didn't even know there was a problem with her until I got out of the hospital 3 days later, and she's like, do you realize what you said to me? And I didn't. I was totally dissociated, to be honest with you.
Sure.
I do that a lot. And it was a really bad reaction. She wants me to be okay with them having an open relationship and be good with it, and I won't do that. Well, anyway, it turned into a blow-up, and then I find out 3 days later, and she's an overly emotional person anyway, and I mean psychosensitive to every little thing, any look, anything.
Okay.
Whatever, that's fine. I can deal with it. I tried to be friends with her. I tried to care about her and love her and, you know, be a part of the family and everything. But when I get out of the hospital, she's like, I'm cutting you out of my life.
All right, so Don, let me stop here for just a second. So this you said was your son's fiance. Are they married now?
No, they're still not married yet. But here's
what's your relationship with your son?
Usually good. I mean, my son and I have a great relationship for the most part. I mean, we have issues. Everybody has issues, but you know, he's like me.
Well,
fight, get over it, move on.
Yeah, but I mean, so what I'm understanding you to say though is she wants an open relationship with your son. Did I understand that correctly?
He's a cheater. He's a cheater, and she thinks he's always going to cheat on her no matter what. And they both are just—they're in that modern mindset of, oh, it doesn't matter if you know. I don't understand it, to be honest with you.
Well,
I don't
all horrible. All right, so let me
just really horrible.
Yeah, you can't support that open relationship, and you can't support your son's
being a cheater.
Cheating. And you know, if you stand for that, you know, if you stand up for the truth in that and they want to cut you out of their life, I guess that's what they're going to do. But, you know, it's not okay, you know, for your son to be a cheater. It's not okay for his fiancée to accept that. And, you know, you have a responsibility as, you know, the mother in this situation, a godly woman in this situation, to say, guys, I love you too much. You're settling. There's nothing healthy about this. You should both want more for yourselves than you're accepting from each other. I love you too much to let you have this kind of relationship, to support this kind of a relationship.
Yeah. And this kind of behavior
in your
life, you're destroying yourself.
If you want to hate me, hate me. I mean, Donna, you said that you blew up. I don't know what you said. I don't know how you carried yourself. Maybe you could have handled it better. And it's fine that you apologized for that. But the heart of your message is, you know, you love your son and you love your son's fiance too much to say that it's okay to do what they're doing. And by the way, you know, you said that you were upset with your son's fiance's life choices. What her life choices is committing to your son, who's a cheater. So the bigger issue here is
license to sin. A license to live in a state of grave sin. This is not okay.
So I really want to encourage you to continue to lovingly say, you know, to your son especially, you need to get your life in order. I love you too much to support the choices that you're making and the awful way you're treating your fiance, and I want you to get the help that you need so that you can be a good and godly man.
And this is what we're talking about when we talk about real love, working for the ultimate good of somebody, not just making nice and getting along, but saying, look, you're living in a way that's destroying you, destroying your relationship, destroying the woman you say you love. Get it together. get it together, yeah. Get some counseling, and start living.
And it's
right
okay
order.
To say, you know, look, I apologize for if I blew up, if I came off badly, for the way I said the thing, but I will never apologize for standing up for what's the best for you guys. I love you both too much to let you keep settling for less than you deserve in the love that you have. And you know, son, you say, you know, son's fiance, whatever her name is. Yeah, I would rather you left my son than stick yourself in a relationship with this man
behavior.
Who can't be faithful. You know, I it breaks my heart that you would commit to my son who is incapable of being a faithful man. And son, it breaks my heart that you are not willing to get the help that you need to get to be a man who's worthy of being married to. I can't support either of you in this, and I love you too much to say that this is okay.
Amen.
So you can apologize for the way you said it, but please don't ever apologize for what you're saying, because there's nothing healthy about either of them. And you have a right and an obligation, in fact, to double down on the message that you've sent so far, even if it drives them away. Thanks for the call, Donna. Well, that's all the time we've got for today's program. If you are struggling with love in any relationship and you're not sure how to love that difficult person or get the love that you deserve from someone, let us help. Reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com, where we can help you connect with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor who help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life in the light of God's grace. That's CatholicCounselors.com. And get out there and celebrate the life God has for you, because with His grace, there's so much more to life.
With Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.